The Money Show.
Small business.
To Pavlo Fatidis, ChatGPT, Pavlo. Give us a perspective on it, please, because we have been talking a lot about ChatGPT and its functionality. From a small business perspective, how do we use this brand new search capability, this research capability, this digital workhorse?
Well, Bruce, you know what? You need to think of it like an exoskeleton. So you've seen, I'm sure, over the years, these artificial, almost like suits. So suit made up of a series of pistons and fiber materials that you can put on as someone working on, for example, a factory floor. And whereas you might be able to lift a 30-kilogram box or 50-kilogram box, you can now lift a 100 or 200 or 300-kilogram box. So it's a tool. It's not a solution. It's something that you use to improve your performance, either as a person or to improve the performance of certain functions in the business itself.
Okay. So how do we get to use it across this diverse spread of businesses and ideas and marvelous people who do incredible things in their small businesses every day? We can't be too specific, but we can give some guidance.
No, it can't be too specific because it's going to vary widely. And, you know, the whole thing about a tool like this is you start using it, and as you start to use it, you suddenly realize that the art of getting impact and potency out of it is in how you ask the questions. So it goes back to the essence of how you would, for example, if you're going to use it in marketing, ask the right questions in order to build a great piece of research or to get an answer to a threat and the impact that that threat might have on the industry of a client or customer you're busy serving. You might use it to, for example, make better decisions very, very quickly in a very short period of time around how you want to communicate the value proposition of something, the benefits of something to a customer. So you might use it by asking the right questions about if I'm selling, for example, the solution that I have to offer to somebody in procurement, what would matter to them versus somebody in finance, what would matter to them? So it starts to give you an insight through a conversation as to how to craft value propositions and communications to people that you're marketing to. You can also then use it, obviously, in sales. And in that environment, it's to gain a better understanding of who you're selling to. But especially, Bruce, especially in communications, if English is a second language, not your primary language, and you battle and struggle through certain ideas on whether to use is or are or however it may be, however it may appear, to get an idea very crisply communicated in a very short sentence, ChatGPT is very powerful at taking the email you've written, and you can say, shorten this by 50%, make sure that the message is clear, and help me communicate the point I'm trying to make. So it can be very heavily used.
Now that, Pavlo, to my mind, is brilliant and a great use case for ChatGPT, because I was talking last night about how I was asking it a series of fairly innocuous questions about stuff that the internet should know about me, and some stuff that I know the internet won't know because I keep a lot of stuff private. Yet when I asked it a series of questions, it got a lot of facts wrong. It got a lot of context wrong. It wasn't 100% perfect. But if you are a second or third English language speaker, and I notice this a lot where people send me an email and they use very highfalutin language in an effort to try and come across as credible and to make a good impression of themselves. They don't use simple everyday English. What ChatGPT does is pares down the use of language to keep things simple, elegant, and clear in a way that is quite hard to achieve with the human brain.
Completely. You know, Bruce, you could write something. So if you think about any industry has a load of jargon, lots of jargon in it. And that jargon is very, very useful if you're communicating peer-to-peer in an industry. But if now you have to communicate the benefits of what your product or solution or business might be for an audience who aren't in the industry, you write up the normal email as you would using your jargon, you copy-paste it, put it into ChatGPT, and say, please write this for a layman and remove the jargon. And you can then, once it's done it, say, shorten it by 30% and orientate it towards someone in finance as opposed to someone in marketing. And before you know it, you crafted communications that are very, very effective. If you want to communicate with people in a different language, you might want to strike a relationship and say, how do I immediately, without having to go into Google and wade through all the various paid-for top-end sites that you would visit that are looking to upsell and cross-sell all sorts of activity, if you simply say, I'm speaking to someone in Angola, how do I greet a finance manager at a corporation in Angola in Portuguese? How do I say, good morning, how are you? I've been dying to find a time to meet with you. It's very, very smart if you know how to ask the right questions and if you understand, most importantly, the audience that you're using it to communicate with and engage with.
At the same time, I would caution against just trusting that it's got it absolutely right. I would get it, at least for now, checked by a human. At least if you're going to write a message in Portuguese, I would get a Portuguese speaker to say, I haven't made a faux pas here, have I? I haven't got a subtlety wrong. I haven't used a piece of slang that in Luanda means something different to Maputo, for example, whatever it might be. Just to get a pair of human eyes over it. Are you not that paranoid?
Yeah, I think it's vital. You know, it's going to always have its limitations. And here's the reality. Everyone is now using it. If you're not using it, you're missing a trick. If you're not using it, you're going to get stuck behind in the future. Because the amount of AI solutions, products, applications that are coming out, in a usable format as the technology has dramatically improved over the last 4 or 5 years, is profound. What ChatGPT does for you is in your communications, in your writing, in how you use it, the outcome is an instant coffee. And if you want it to delight someone, you need to know that you always need to make a barista gourmet coffee. It's something that will give you the plain vanilla, but it will start becoming very apparent that it was AI-driven and that the human touch to it that gives you personality, that sets you apart, that part's never going to be there. So you use it to do 60%, 70% of the heavy lifting, and then you apply your own personality and character, your own brand and culture of a business to the communication or to the outcome of how you use ChatGPT.
I think there's a risk here, Pavlo, that we become so used to it doing the heavy lifting for us and the work for us that we start losing our own sense of identity in the way in which we communicate and the way in which we write. That would be a concern for me, and I would be quadruply paranoid on that basis utilizing it, because I know that if there is a shortcut, well, you know, it's there for a purpose. It must be taken. But you've got to keep your faculties very well attuned to the way in which you present yourself. It isn't good enough to say, well, ChatGPT did it. Sorry about that. Because you then come across as slovenly, lazy, and inept.
And that's where the point of difference is going to come. Because as more and more people adopt it, I think it's going to open up the door to all sorts of new careers in the future, Bruce. There are a lot of careers that currently will be replaced and supplanted by ChatGPT. So doing very basic copywriting work or, you know, writing social media posts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that area is going to be optimized by ChatGPT. So, for example, you know, right now, if you do a proper blog, for example, or a piece of media that you want to release into the digital hemisphere. You're going to write it, and you're going to write it to the best of your ability, but I can promise you that you haven't done it effectively, because to do it effectively, you need to then understand all the algorithms of Facebook and the algorithms of Google and TikTok and whatever else it might be that you're using to distribute your content, and those algorithms are really hard to understand. If you put that into ChatGPT and say, write this for Facebook, write this for LinkedIn, write it for my website, write it for an email, you're going to start using it very smartly with the view to learn. The content that it generates will still need your touch. It will still need your personality and character to come through. Because once everybody's doing that, it means any communication you read, you'll be able to see that it's driven by an AI. You will be able to see, therefore, that it's less trustworthy than the pen, paper, thought, mind, and effort of someone who's ground through putting a piece of customized communication with personality and character across to that audience. So as we use it now, it will give you an advantage. As everyone uses it, we're going to find a level playing field with it again.
I meant to and failed to today contact you to say, let's agree on a question, whatever it might be. How hard is it to open a business in South Africa? And both put exactly that question, worded in exactly the same way, into the ChatGPT engine and see whether or not we get any variation at all in the response. But I failed. But I think it could be quite a fun exercise.
I think we'll do it in any event and report back next week.
Let's do that. Pavlo Fotidis at Auric Business Accelerator.